Welcome to Music and the Message from St. Peter Lutheran Church in Gilberts, Illinois. We pray this blend of musical praise and the spoken word will enlighten your day and bring you closer to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
The following readings and sermon are from the 10:30 service on Sunday, September 12th, 2021.
The Old Testament reading this morning is from Isaiah chapter 50. The Lord God has given me the tongue of those who are taught, that I may know how to sustain with a word him who is weary. Morning by morning he awakens. He awakens my ear to hear as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I turned not backward. I gave my back to those who strike, and my cheeks to those who pull out the beard. I hid not my face from disgrace and spitting. But the Lord God helps me, therefore I have not been disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God helps me. Who will declare me guilty? Behold, all of them will wear out like a garment. The moth will eat them up. Who among you fears the Lord and obeys the voice of his servant? Let him who walks in darkness and has no light trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. This is the word of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is from James chapter 3. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with a greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among the members, sustaining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth comes blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or grapevines produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 9th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When they came to the disciples, they saw a great crowd around them and scribes arguing with them. And immediately all the crowd, when they saw him, were greatly amazed and ran up to Jesus and greeted him. And he asked them, what are you arguing about with them? And someone from the crowd answered him, Teacher, I brought my son to you, for he has a spirit that makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down, and he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they were not able. And he answered them, O faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me. And they brought the boy to him. And when the spirit saw him, immediately it convulsed the boy. And he fell on the ground and rolled about, foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. And it has often cast him into fire and into water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said to him, if you can, all things are possible for one who believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said, I believe, help my unbelief. And when Jesus saw that a crowd came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, you mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again. And after crying out and convulsing him terribly, it came out. And the boy was like a corpse, so that most of them said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had entered the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" And he said to them, "This kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer." This is the gospel of our Lord. They brought the boy to Jesus, and when the spirit saw him, immediately it convulsed the boy, and he fell on the ground and rolled about, foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And the man said, "From childhood, and it has often cast him into the fire and into water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus said to him, "If you can, all things are possible for one who believes." Immediately, the father of the child cried out and said, "I believe. Help my unbelief." This is our text. And this is quite a story, isn't it? Some might even say unbelievable. And yet, no, my friends, it is not. Holy Scripture tells us of many occasions when Jesus exorcised evil spirits throughout the time of his earthly ministry. Numerous examples are found in the gospel accounts of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, as well as in the book of Acts, where the apostles of the early church, acting under Jesus' authority, did the very same thing. And so, why are so many people today convinced that demon possession is either a figment of someone's imagination or a thing of the past? Nothing more than a stuff of myths and horror films. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, do not be deceived by a spirit of unbelief. Instead, I urge you to take a close look at what's going on in the world around you today and ask yourself, has the devil retired? You know better, I'm sure. Let's hope that every Christian knows better than that. Can every human atrocity be traced to a neglected or abused childhood? Is mental disease behind every unspeakable act? Exactly what is it that turns a seemingly normal individual into a serial killer? What is it that leads someone to violate women and children, to perpetuate horrific violence, to maim and to kill, to commit mass murder without any expression of conscience or remorse whatsoever? Or perhaps it would be better asked, who is it? I want you to think about that. And if I may impose upon you, I want you to think about this as well. Have you ever thought what it would be like to have your child suffer from demon possession? Probably not. So put yourself in the sandals of this troubled father. Go ahead and do it. Do it now, I urge you. To watch on in helpless anguish as your child writhes on the ground and foams at the mouth, abused by a supernatural evil that throws him into both fire and water before your own eyes, wanting nothing more to destroy both him and you. And every day is the same. You rise from your bed in fear of what the day might bring. Now, you haven't lost hope. You continue to cling to the grace of God. You continue to cry out to God for mercy. Even though it may seem as though God is not hearing you, you hang on, knowing and believing that Christ died for you and for your child. And if Christ loves you enough to have done that, you remain convinced that he will come through for you now. You know the gospel. Christ not only took on human flesh, he took our death and suffering upon himself so that you and I might have life in his name. You remember what Jesus says, greater love has no one than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. So you believe that he loves you and your child. And as the psalmist says, that you will yet see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. But you're tired, aren't you? And there are still those days when you wonder. You wonder how much longer you can carry on. You wonder sometimes if God has turned his back on you. You ask yourself, where can he be? Is he punishing you? And why? Why would he punish your child? What could he have done that was so wrong? Or what did you do wrong? My friends, how often have you felt like King David, who cried out to the Lord in his distress, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider the father in today's gospel text, so excited to see Jesus for himself, bold enough to approach him on behalf of his child, and yet undoubtedly paralyzed with fear and uncertainty. After years of watching his son endure torments of spiritual attack. So Jesus asks, how long has this been happening to him? So long that the father doubted. He doubted whether even Jesus himself could deliver this child from these perpetual torments. No wonder the father's plea sounds so pathetic. If you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. Jesus does not admonish the father. Jesus always hears the cry of his child, and Jesus says, all things are possible to him who believes. All things are possible to him who believes. You know, my friends, heaven forbid that God's grace should depend on us. And it would seem as though that's exactly what Jesus is saying to this distraught father. The man asked for Jesus' help, and Jesus tells him, believe. And so, my friends, who here believes that God knows and listens? Raise your hands. All right, then. Who believes that God can still perform miracles? Even the casting out of demons? Now, remember how the story goes. This man first came to the disciples looking for their help, but those guys had no success whatsoever. That accursed demon would not budge. And why not? I mean, didn't Jesus once tell them, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to a mountain, fall into the sea, and it will do it. You know, long ago, when I first heard these words as a child, I could not help but try it out for myself. Now, there were, of course, no mountains to be found in a neighborhood in the city of Chicago, but there was a hill that I sought to uproot. And you know what? I wasn't successful either. And so I was disappointed, and I told my pastor so. And then he reminded me that I was actually in good company. There exists no record of any of the 12 disciples, or the Apostle Paul, or even Luther having ever caused a mountain to fall into the heart of the sea. But if that's the case, what's left to do? What the poor child's father did. He heard what Jesus said. He cried out to the Lord, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." What is that? Other than an honest confession of a repentant child of God who struggles with the inconsistencies of faith and unbelief. It is the confession and plea of the baptized who rejoices in the gift that God gives, who walks this life's road rooted and grounded in the Word and in His promises. It is the confession and plea of one who bears life's troubles with grace and with dignity, never failing to forget that God is in control and that God works all things together for the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. That's our confession. Well, it should be. That's the confession we ought to make here in this church and in our homes, each and every one of us, each and every day. For when it seems as though all is well in the world, when we are comfortable, when things look profitable, it is then that we relax and place ourselves in danger of the devil who prowls about, seeking that ideal moment to exploit us at that time of spiritual laxity. And the evil one never stops going after that inherent part of us, which doesn't want to trust in the power of God to take care of us in that way in which He has promised to do. My friends, you do believe, don't you? Of course you do. Then don't be reluctant to cry out to God. Help my unbelief. Help me. I mean, why wouldn't you do that? Is anyone here perfect? Is there anyone here who lives a life in perfect repentance? Who here daily sings God's praises? And whose faith is so strong that he or she never doubts? So say it. I believe. Help my unbelief. My friends, you can say that without shame, knowing that God is good, good enough to hear you even in those times when you doubt Him. But never doubt this. God is faithful. He has promised never to leave you or forsake you, even in times of trouble and temptation. He will always be there for you to lead the way. I believe. Help my unbelief. You know what that really is? That's the cry of the righteous. That's a heart which aches for the mercy and forgiveness that no one but God can give. That's the mercy and forgiveness that God has shown you through His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So make your confession and be assured that God's response is always the same. Of you, God declares, "You are my beloved children, and all your sins are forgiven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen."
You are the peace of my joy.
We hope you've enjoyed this edition of Music and the Message, brought to you from St. Peter Lutheran Church, located in Gilberts, Illinois. Worship services are held on Sundays at 8 a.m. and 10:30 a.m., and on Saturday evenings at 5 p.m. For more information, please visit our website at www.stpeterlutheran.org. Thanks for listening, and God's blessings on your week.